Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1102. Today, I want to speak to the women in the audience. And I pray that many will listen to this and listen all the way through, because I am not a woman, but I speak to a lot of women across the country in congregations, have many friends my wife and I love and care for. We've done a lot of counseling over the years, not formal counseling, but meeting with couples, loving on couples. And I have just seen by experience, and it doesn't matter whether I see it by experience or not, God's word is true. But we've lived it out. We've seen it. Karen and I have been dating off and on for almost 50 years. We dated for 4 years before we were married. Two of those we were engaged. And then we've been married coming up soon, 46 years. And so we've seen a lot of life together. And I pray to God have a lot of life in the future. But we've seen the truth of God's word lived out in our experience and the experiences of our friends and colleagues and ministries of every kind, not just the pastorate, but also of couples that are involved in all kinds of work, from professional services as physicians and dentists and architects and just anything you can imagine, down to those who are working just day by day as day workers. And the marriage and married life is difficult. Finances certainly complicate everything, and how we handle our finances, how we live, how much money we make, those kinds of things. Communication is a big, big factor in most marriages. It's not always good. All to say, we could go on with reasons why the marriage is not what it needs to be, but something I often hear now, and I'm hearing it now more than ever before, and I think it's because of the culture that we're living in, and that is, I'm just not happy, and my husband or my wife, they just don't get it, and we're just different. We're different as night and day. We're just incompatible. Well, actually, that's a reason to stay together, because in most cases, God puts us in relationships where we are with a different kind of personality type than what we are. But if people are believers, they're followers of Jesus, God will give us grace to do whatever it is that He commands us to do. That's not just in marriage, that's in anything. We cannot live together as husband and wife in the fullness of what God has for us without being controlled by God's Spirit. You see, it's not natural for us to get along with one another. We are envious, we're jealous, we're lustful, we're selfish. We are in every way sinful, and we want our own way. And incompatibility, that is being in a marriage with someone who doesn't see eye to eye on things and doesn't have the same personality type and all those things, that is God's design. I mean, who wants to be a person like salt and be married to another salty person? No, it's better to have pepper and salt. Then you get the proper balance of seasoning. If you're different, good. Now, I pray to God you're on the same track spiritually and both of you are believers. If not, I'll speak to you today too, especially to the wife in 1 Peter chapter 3. And that's where we're going to be today, is 1 Peter chapter 3, where the Apostle Peter first speaks to the wife, then he speaks to the husband. And even though he just has one verse that he speaks to the husband in 1 Peter 3, it is a powerful verse that is life-changing. And what he says to the woman has to do with something that is so foreign to the nature of a woman. And what he says to the man is so foreign to the nature of a man that God has to give supernatural divine assistance if we're going to live out what it is that God has for us in the marriage relationship. Now listen, the home is the greatest tool that God has. your husband, your wife, is the greatest tool God has to mold us and to shape us into the image of Jesus. Now, I know some of you might think, yes, I have been sent into the fire and my spouse is the fire. No, no, no. But in God's toolbox, your spouse is the key factor in bringing about change in your life. Many times we've talked with couples when they are praying for God to change the other person. And many times as we talk with them, we begin to pray for God to change the person who said that. Because in the marriage relationship, it's amazing how when we change, then God begins to change those around us. And that is intimately true in the marriage relationship because it's an intimate relationship. And I'm not talking about sexual relationships, although that is part of marriage. I'm talking about intimacy in the sense of communication, in the sense of togetherness, in the sense of going in the same direction. And Peter speaks to that. And so let's get right into the text. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you're going to understand the context, you have to go all the way back to verse 11, where he begins to talk to these sojourners and pilgrims. Now, the word there for sojourner and pilgrim is centered around the idea of resident aliens. We are foreigners. We're living in a land that is not ultimately our home the way it is now. So we are living in a world that is under God's control, but it is many times lived out under the authority of the enemy of our souls. The Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air. The Bible calls him the God, little g, God of this world. In other words, most of the world doesn't know our God, has not submitted to him. Now, one day they will, but that's not the case now. And so he says, I want you to understand that there are consistently and constantly factors that are warring against our soul. And we need to understand that unbelievers are looking at the Christian person and the Christian marriage to see if it's for real, to see if it is different. And so that's what God talks about through Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and following. Verses 13 through 17, he talks about the need to submit to authority. Now, the word submission is the word hupotasso. The word is very much tasso, like the idea of tithemi. Now, I said the other day it came from it. I did not mean to say it came from it. It actually is associated with it because it's the idea of standing under someone. The word hupotasso means to get in your proper order, to stand under someone. So they're almost cognate terms. And so it's the idea of getting in line, getting in your proper order. And in a military term, it's speaking of rank. In verse 13, where it says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, and for the Lord's sake, to the king supreme or governors, and he talks about all of these various levels of authority within the government. We've got to remember that God is the one that ordained government, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. And we saw that throughout the Old Testament. And God does that because he's a God of cosmos. He's a God of order. And government is there to create order, to enforce order, because without it, it's chaos. Now, there's not a particular form of government that is looked upon in the scriptures like democracy as some kind of royal and preferred type of government. As a matter of fact, we will be living under a theocracy during the great age of the kingdom when Jesus himself will rule. The greatest kingdoms on earth have not been democracy. I'm sorry, they've not been. They have been under a benevolent king or queen. Just let history prove it out. The experience of democracy that we have and the experiment of democracy that we have is less than 250 years old. It's not Roman. It's not Greek. It is unique in our country because it is truly a republic with three branches of government that was by the forefathers designed to be a check and a balance. Why? Because they understood human nature and the sinfulness of human nature. Yes, it was founded upon a Judeo-Christian principle of the value of human life, of the origin of life coming from a creator, and the idea and concepts of justice, of law, of order. All of those things are in our republic, and those are biblical values and a biblical value system, a Judeo-Christian value system. And so that's all it's talking about, is that you and I need to understand that we live in a world that is not our home, and that we are having people watching us all the time. And so we need to be good citizens, and we need to understand authority. And that's why in verses 18 and following, Peter reminds them, because he's going somewhere with this, he said, everybody is to submit to governmental authority, and that's a way of life. Now, there are times when there has to be civil disobedience, but that's not the purpose of this particular podcast. In verses 18 and following down through verse 21, he talks about masters being good masters, and those who are slaves or servants under those masters should give them respect and honor, and they need to do what they do to honor God, and that they should not be suffering and being punished and beaten because they have done something wrong. But if you're going to be punished for doing something right. And that's what all of that is talking about through the end of the chapter. And so he's talked about these different relationships between a government and its citizens, between masters and slaves or servants. Employer, employees would be equivalency of that today. Not that it's a slave-master relationship, but one is subservient to the other. And then he comes to the home in chapter 3. There's a chapter break there, but I don't think there should be a chapter break because he is going right on with the train of thought. So he says, wives, likewise, in other words, just as there is order in government, just as there is order in the various aspects of employment and slaves and masters and all of those things, so there is order in the home. And so the word submit there is not a word that we're unfamiliar with. It's the word hupotasso. The idea is in the middle voice. What that is talking about is it's the woman's responsibility to see that this happens. It's not the man's. This is a personal responsibility, action, and choice. Wives, you need to get in your proper order, get in your proper rank, because God has given rank, and that rank was given before the fall. Because of creation order. You can read what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy. Now, this is what God says, not what I say, not what you say. It's not what you think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think when it comes to obeying God. Either it's the word of God when we like it, and when we don't like it, or it's not the word of God at all. It's just the word of God when you want to obey it. But the reality is, our culture doesn't determine this. It is God who determines it. And so he talks about those who are living with people who do not obey the word of God, lost people. You've got to remember that many of these marriages were arranged. And after the arrangement and after the marriage, the people had to learn to love one another. That's right. You have to learn to love somebody. And you have to make the choice over and over again. There's no such thing in the Bible, in regular life, as courtship and marriage on a regular scale. Now, there's episodes of that, but the normal way of life in the Middle East, in which the Bible comes out of, is that the marriage partner is chosen by those who are wiser than the person doing the choosing. So the person learned to love the other one. They made a choice to love the other one, made a choice to love them. Because love is not about feelings primarily, it's about a commitment. Feelings come and go, and if you've been married a while, you know that. Loving somebody is much different than being in love. I've said it many times, and my wife will give testimony on her side that she and I, in the years we've been together, in the decades, we've fallen in and out of love many times. But our commitment has been to each other, not to leave one another, but to stay together so that we don't embarrass Jesus. And I've embarrassed the Lord, and I don't know that Karen has, but I certainly have. And I have embarrassed the Lord in many areas, and I don't want to do that anymore. And I've repented of all the things that I've ever done that I felt like embarrassed the Lord inside of the marriage and out. So all to say, this is very, very important that we understand this, that sometimes a person gets into a marriage relationship, and then after that, one's saved or the other one's saved. But if it's the woman that's saved, which is usually the case, because she's more tender to the things of God, she often is more receptive, she gets saved, her husband is lost, and she tries to win him, and as she begins to talk with him, nothing's working, and the Bible says this is the way you do it. Now, this is very important that we understand that God's in control here. And so he says that if you have any who do not obey the word, that is a husband that is unsaved, a husband that's not walking in obedience with God, then you are to win them without a word. That means if the person is lost and they will not listen to the word of God, then the way you win them, according to Peter, is without a word. It's anarthros. There is no definite article, the, talking about the word of God. And we do that. They may be one, it says, and this is future passive. That means that there's going to be an act or an actor that will act upon your husband. That's the Holy Spirit. It's passive. He'll be acted upon so that without a word, that husband may be won. And look how that is. By the holiness, that's the word hagios, chaste, that is, by the conduct of their wives, by the way their wives live and act and talk. That's the greatest witness you can have, is not telling your husband over and over and over again. You've already told him 50 times how to be saved. You just tell him one more time, he's not going to do it. He already knows that. What he wants to see is, and what God says will work, is if you'll quit talking to him about what all he needs to do and start living the way you need to live. And one of those ways is to quit nagging your husband and trying to lay a guilt trip on him, but you live a godly life. You obey the Lord. You live right. You respect him. You give him, because you choose to, the respect that's due him. You honor him. You let him know how much you love him. And it says that this lifestyle of a woman who's not emphasizing her outward, but the inward beauty, and that doesn't mean you disregard the outward beauty. Of course you would do that. But don't get caught up in that, because that's not what's going to win him, because that's going to change over time. And you know that, and I know that. But what will work, and it'll work over time, because beauty fades with time, outward beauty. But inward beauty strengthens and becomes greater with time. And so he says, this will not fade away. And what is that? It is a gentle, a meek, that is, you have power, you have authority in yourself, you can do things for yourself, but he says a gentle and quiet spirit. Basically, there's a root of this word that means no echo. That means it's not just on and on and on. You stop, you listen, and you don't have to have the last word. Men, you don't have to have the last word, but women, you don't either, because there doesn't need to be an echo in the room just over and over and over again, because that's nagging. And the scripture says it's better to live in the desert, live on the rooftop of a house in the corner of it with just a little corner, than to live inside with a woman who will not be quiet. You see, a boisterous spirit is always condemned by God. You don't have to state your opinion, ladies, on every aspect that you have one. It's not important that we state our opinion all the time. You see, we don't have a right. We so stress having a right to do this. I'm free to do that. I have a right to do that. What we need to stress is responsibility to do the right thing. And with the freedom and rights that we have responsibilities. What we need to teach each other and live before each other and teach our children is this. We don't need to be caught up in what we have a right to do, but we need to be caught up in doing the right thing. And doing the right thing is a big deal, because if we do it, God will honor in a woman's life her godly life more than her words, no matter how true they are, that are sharp in what they say. And that respect level is so needed by that husband. And I know if he'd be the husband he needs to be, it'd be his respect. But that's not what God's dealing with. God's dealing with you. He deals with the husband. Don't worry about that. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But I want you to understand that it's your responsibility to do the right thing before God and let God deal with your husband. After all, you can't change his heart anyway. Only God can do that. And the more you tell him what he needs to do, the less it's going to have an effect upon his life. Start living out your part and see if God doesn't work in his life and do his part. Well, there's much, much more, but that's enough for today. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org, then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.